Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, American Savage. I really missed you. So great to be back. Absolutely ecstatic to have you back to another episode of The Savage Truth. I am your host, Cicely Davis. Welcome as we get into another round of political haps here in this great U.S. of A. If you are new to the channel, I extend you a very warm, heartfelt, and genuine welcome. Thank you so very much for making the decision to join me today. I love having you. Tell someone about the show. Come on back next time. Thank you so very much for joining me. For those of you who have been with me from the beginning or just started maybe 2 weeks ago from my last episode or somewhere in the middle, it doesn't matter. I appreciate your support. Thank you so very much for caring enough to tune in. Couldn't do this without you. Wouldn't do it. Now, if you're new or returning, I have an ask, and it is absolutely always this: to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And as I said, we are here to get into the haps because Clown Comey is back at it again. And we have FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino on the case. This is all about the controversy. You've heard about this whole 8647. So let's just get into it, because FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino delivered a scathing rebuke of former FBI Director James Comey on Saturday, condemning what he called yet another disgraceful moment for the embattled ex-director. Now, the criticism comes as authorities review Comey's now deleted Instagram post featuring the cryptic and inflammatory phrase 8647. Now, everyone knows what that means, okay? When you see that, you absolutely know what it means, what it implies. Absolutely no one is stupid, right? But in a public statement shared on X, Bongino called out Comey's ongoing pattern of failed leadership, which it was, asserting that the FBI is still dealing with the fallout from his tenure. And I quote Dan Bongino, former FBI Director James Comey brought shame to the FBI badge yet again this past week. The director and I spend an inordinate amount of time cleaning up messes left behind by former Director Comey, and his latest actions are no exceptions, end of quote. Now, Comey was fired by President Donald Trump in 2017, mind you, stirred outrage Thursday after posting a photo of seashells arranged to spell out, yes, the 8647. Widely interpreted as the veiled call to get rid of the 47th president, Donald Trump. Not gonna happen. Not on my watch. Now, though Comey later deleted the post and claimed ignorance about its meaning, as he would, critics were not buying the excuse. You, American savages, are not buying the excuse. I'm not buying the excuse. Rick's not buying it. Okay. My producer, my dog here at my feet. No one's buying it, including Trump himself. Now, he said, and I quote the president, he knew exactly what that meant. A child knows what that meant. And this is what Trump actually said to Fox News on Friday. If you're the FBI director, and I quote, and you don't know what that meant assassination. And it says it loud and clear. Attempting to walk back the controversy, Comey posted that he didn't post. He didn't realize some folks associated those numbers with violence and claimed it never occurred to me. Never occurred to him. Never occurred to him that 86 means to 86, ixnay, take someone out. Just never occurred to him, right? Which actually only speaks to his ignorance and a reflection of his failed leadership. Bongino flatly rejected Comey's explanation, that calling it a part of a broader troubling trend. And then again, Dan Bongino states, as the deputy director of the FBI, I am charged standing with Director Patel with managing the most powerful law enforcement agency in the world. The director and I are also responsible for looking at the grave mistakes made by the people within the FBI in the past and ensuring they never happen again, end of quote. Now, he reiterated the FBI's commitment to standing with federal law enforcement partners in investigating any credible threat involving political or public officials, past or present. Not political officials, I'm sorry. Public officials, past or present. Now, here's my commentary on this, okay? I am not the least bit surprised by Comey's latest stunt. It's just another example of the blatant double standards we've come to expect from the left and their deep state allies. 8647 isn't subtle. It's sinister, and it absolutely implies assassination of our beloved president. Anyone pretending otherwise is insulting our intelligence. This is the same James Comey who weaponized the FBI against a sitting president, and now he's back at it, trying to incite chaos while playing dumb. Now, he's good at playing that. He's good at being dumb. Thankfully, we've got strong leaders like Dan Bongino and Kash Patel on the case. They are at the helm, working to restore integrity to an institution that Comey and his icky staff tried to turn into a political weapon. And I, for one, am all for it. He knew exactly what he meant. We just got to shut this guy up. Okay. Way to go, Dan Bongino and Kash Patel. We feel good knowing that you're at the helm and on the case. Now, I can't seem to stay away from Jasmine Crockett. No matter what I do, I try. And she just seems to always pop in somewhere. Literally every time she opens her mouth, you can count on something really dumb, really bad, something very embarrassing coming out of it. And this week is no exception, because now Jasmine Crockett rants about the white man amid some debates over to dismantle the DEI Act. So here we are, folks. Just when you think the left can't top their own circus, here comes Jasmine Crockett, melting down on the House floor like a college freshman at her first debate. In the middle of a serious discussion about dismantle DEI Act, which claims to finally rid our government of race-based hiring and woke identity politics, Jasmine Crockett decided it was time to go for good old-fashioned rant about, you know it, wait for it, the white man. Because, of course, when Democrats are losing the argument on policy, they default to skin color and victimhood like it's a reflex. This is their wild card, okay? Let's get it straight. The Dismantle DEI Act isn't about race. It's about restoring merit, equality, and sanity to a government that's become obsessed with box-checking overcompetence. But rather than defend the substance of DEI policies, Jasmine Crockett goes on a tirade, blaming white men for, well, everything. Everything, apparently. It's the political equivalent of yelling fire in a room full of facts. And it's laughable coming from a sitting member of Congress who somehow believes she's oppressed while holding one of the most powerful positions in the country. You can't make this stuff up, truly. Now, here's the truth. Here's the savage truth. Americans are tired of being divided by race, gender, and pronouns. Okay, we've had it. We're done. They want their institutions run by the best and the brightest, not by whoever scores highest on the oppression Olympics. Now, Crockett, her rant only proves why DEI has to go. Literally, her presence is a testimony as to why DEI is not good. It's not about diversity or equity or inclusion. It's about division and entitlement and never-ending blame game, okay? The left keeps overplaying their hand, and every time they do, more independents wake up and say, wait a minute, this is who's in charge? Keep talking, Jasmine. Keep on going. You're making the case for dismantling DEI better than ever anyone ever could. Thank you. Now, We have a new pope, everyone. Perhaps there's hope with the new pope. Oh, I made a rhyme. New Pope Leo XIV, as the world watches with cautious optimism as the Catholic Church welcomes Pope Leo XIV, a leader who signals a hopeful turn towards faith, family, and the time-honored traditions that have anchored civilizations for centuries. In a time marked by moral confusion and societal fragmentation, his elevation to the papacy represents more than a spiritual event. It's a cultural reckoning. Now, for many conservatives and independent thinkers, Pope Leo XIV's arrival is an answered prayer, offering a renewed voice of clarity and conviction in an age that has strayed far from absolute truth. Now, with a firm reverence for scripture and an unapologetic emphasis on the sanctity of life, thank you, God Almighty, the nuclear family and the authority of divine law, thank you, Lord, again, Pope Leo XIV embodies the courage to lead the church back to its roots. We got to get down to the roots, folks. He has signaled a departure from politically correct dogmas and has instead pointed to the moral compass that built Western civilization. Faith in God, the strength of the traditional family, and the sacredness of individual liberty guided by virtue, with God at the base, as the cornerstone. His words challenge not just the spiritual decay inside the church, but the cultural rot infecting our schools, infecting our media, and infecting our politics. Conservatives recognize that in Pope Leo XIV, is a rare ally in the broader cultural battle for truth and for order. His papacy may well be a catalyst for reawakening a moral majority, not just within Catholicism, but across the faith continuum, yearning for righteous leadership. Now, at a time when the lines between good and evil are blurred by relativism and ideology, the church has a chance to stand tall once again as a pillar of eternal truths. Now, I'm not a Catholic, but we need strong leaders across the Christian spectrum. And in Pope Leo XIV, we see the possibility of a revival, not just of the church, but of a world desperately in need of God, family, and moral courage. Let's do this, Pope Leo XIV. Boy, do I hope he's not taken aside by the wokey leftist agenda. Starting out great, though. So here's to Pope Leo XIV. Got to talk about the president. Donald Trump signs an executive order for most favorite nations, drug pricing. Oh, this is so good. Now, you know, your girl has a master's degree in health administration. Okay, so I pay attention. I am, after all, just like you, in some way, shape, or form, a healthcare consumer. But we need to talk about something that's long overdue. President Trump's bold move to stop the fleecing of the American people when it comes to prescription drug prices. Now, this is a subject that gets people all hot and bothered under the collar, okay? Now, under the leadership of HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., this administration is putting America first, where it matters most: your health and your wallet. Now, for far too long, hardworking Americans have footed the bill so that foreign countries can enjoy deep discounts on the very same medications. That's not fairness. That's exploitation, folks. And President Trump is finally putting an end to it. So here's the deal. The U.S. has been paying up to 10 times more for the same drugs that other nations get on the cheap. And it's because those countries know they can rely on the American taxpayer to pick up the slack. Boy, have we been abused as American taxpayers, not just here in our own country and by our own government and its leaders, but literally from around the world. It's global freeloading, plain and simple. Trump's executive action is a direct challenge to Big Pharma and to the corrupt globalist system that has kept this scan running for decades, folks, decades. While Democrats want to keep appeasing international interests and protecting bloated bureaucracies, this administration is cutting through the nonsense and demanding that American lives and dollars come first. Wow. Welcome back to the show, Patriots. Today, we are shining a spotlight on one of the most important yet underreported victories for the American people. Hooray to Donald Trump. President Donald Trump. His executive action to slash prescription drug prices and finally put an end to global freeloading. I love this. Robert F. K. Jr. has laid it out clearly. American patients have been subsidizing the rest of the world's drug costs for decades. We're talking about Americans paying for up to 10 times more, like I said, for the exact same medication, all so that socialist countries in Europe and elsewhere can enjoy bargain bin prices. That ends now with this administration. So let's be honest. Let's tell the savage truth in this moment. This global scam didn't happen by accident. It was allowed to fester under weak leadership and cozy relationships between big pharma and globalist politicians from both parties. From both parties. We are not innocent in this one, folks. But Trump doesn't play that game, okay? This executive order will force the hand of Big Pharma to negotiate prices based on what other countries are paying, period. Not what they feel like charging Americans. It's about time. It's a direct America First solution to a problem that every career politician has ignored for decades. That means us too, folks. That means the Republican side. We're in on this. This is the kind of leadership that puts working families, seniors, and veterans ahead of global specialist interests. And, like I said, it is about time. What we see from Kennedy is that he understands this fight. He's stepping into his role with a clear message. We're not going to allow our seniors, we're not going to allow our veterans, we're not going to allow our working families to be used as ATM machines so that the socialist healthcare systems overseas can brag about their affordable drugs. That affordability has been built on the backs of you and of me, on Americans. And that stops now with this administration. This is real leadership, folks. If you want to see what real leadership looks like, you are staring at it in the face. And once again, it's coming from the America First agenda. And that, my friends, is the savage truth. Let's watch another episode of Savage Soldiers. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, to be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.